How can you kindle your creativity? Get into the office early and start brainstorming? Stay at the office late to test out your innovative ideas? Actually, you might be better off getting out of the office altogether, going for a hike, bike ride, or a swim in a lake. In the new book, The Creativity Factor, Using the Power of the Outdoors to Spark Successful Innovation, Gary Pratt argues that spending time outside might be the single most effective way to trigger creative thinking. Gary is the co-founder of EarSwitch, a sensor technology startup, and was previously entrepreneur in residence and a teaching fellow in entrepreneurship at the University of Bath. Gary is also the co-founder of Walking Leaders, where he guides walking expeditions intended to cultivate creative and outside thinking in business leaders, teams, and entrepreneurs. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hi, I'm Gary Pratt, author of The Creativity Factor, which is all about using the power of the outdoors to spark successful innovation. I've been an entrepreneur, a founder, an academic, a mountain leader, and an archaeologist working in the US and across Europe. And over the years, through trial and error, I've found my thinking space and continue to find my inspiration outside, with the absolute appreciation that a desk is a very dangerous place from which to view the world. I hope my book will help you tap into your inherent creative mind and fulfill the true potential of your capabilities. The Creativity Factor explores the scientific and anecdotal evidence for entrepreneurial creativity and explains the mechanisms, habits, and techniques that increase creative thinking and help modern entrepreneurs, innovators, and leaders to imagine and create real innovation through something I call outside thinking. From stifling work environments to repetitive schedules, I explore the everyday obstacles that constrain and limit our creative thinking, and how we can use nature, the outdoors, walking and talking, to effectively trigger and engage our mind's default mode to create real innovation. Today I'm going to share with you five of my key insights. Insight number one, to be innovative or entrepreneurial is to be creative. The future of the world will be reliant on creativity. Creativity is the lifeblood of the future. It is the oil for industries to come. Radical innovation rarely comes from people set in their ways, who simply know more or have more information, but from those who can manage to generate alternative perspectives. As far back as the 1970s, English economist George Shackle was developing rigorous theoretical frameworks on the nature of the entrepreneurial process, based on the idea that business planning and innovation cannot be focused on actual, concrete knowledge of the future, but only on one's imagination of it. And as the future is unknowable, entrepreneurs, managers, and workers cannot act solely by identifying optimal choices based on some past statistical information. Instead, they need to create and use imagined futures to attend to questions of possibility. Key to this is the acceptance that imagination can be a conscious, unconscious, self-reflective, and even an embodied process. It's not just dreaming or thinking, but in action should involve things like sketching, building, playing, having conversations, and making connections in the real physical world. The results of a 2012 study by US academic Benjamin Baird were striking. Three groups were tested for creativity in three different settings. There was a 40% improvement in creative problem solving and idea incubation in the group engaged in an undemanding task, over those who were doing a more demanding task or simply resting or taking a break. This may seem surprising, but Baird and his colleagues argue that, with no distraction, our thoughts tend to revert to logical, sequential pattern. While, if our brains are challenged with a complex task, there simply isn't scope for creativity. So being actively distracted is the sweet spot for creativity to flourish, and it's not a marginal 1%. It's a whopping 40% gain. Insight number two, a desk is a dangerous place from which to view the world. If you had to identify in one word the reason why the human race has not achieved and never will achieve its full potential, that word would be meetings. Most modern management structures are historically and somewhat inadvertently designed to put up structural fences, which both stifle individual and team imagination and inhibit valuable serendipity, both of which should be key to developing new ideas and driving innovation. Locked within these established, widely accepted, and frequently taught structures, managers and sometimes founders strive to know before doing and very rarely do before knowing. As a result, their ability to take metaphorical, Indiana Jones-style leaps of faith become tightly constrained as they strive to measure, test, and see what will support them across the conceptual abyss. So before gathering a team together, engaging in some advisors or facilitators and diving into another business strategy session in a soulless meeting room, founders and innovators should be concentrating on increasing pure creativity and idea generation. Perhaps only then will these meetings, sitting around a table, become truly useful tools to interrogate the ideas, a sort of running them through the mill process, where most new ideas could and should be rejected. Insight number 3. Brainstorming is dead. The free association process embedded in brainstorming, and specifically the piggybacking approach, actually and actively limit the participants' use of imagination to develop new ideas. In 2010, Brian Mullen and some colleagues studied over 800 business teams and came to the quantitative conclusion the brainstorming groups were actually significantly less productive, both in the quality and quantity of original idea generation. And in fact, individuals were more likely to generate original ideas when actively not interacting with each other in a brainstorming session. For my research, I conducted a survey of founders and co-founders of equity-backed, fast-growing scale-up companies. Over 75% of the respondents reported that they had their best ideas not at work. And, when asked where they did have their best ideas, 95%, almost all of them, said, "When I'm outdoors." In 100-year or more time, we're going to look back at the working practices of this past century and judge them, relatively, in the same way we now view Victorian mills and their cramped, squalid working conditions. Think about it. We've asked people to spend the majority of the week for their entire working lives sitting in one position, confined to an often uncomfortable chair, hunched over a small desk, peering into a small screen. If you want creative workers, give them enough time to play. Entrepreneurs who engage their forward-looking imaginations, which materialize in their everyday performances, are the ones who generate novelty and the ones who make a difference in the world. Insight number 4. Walking outdoors is a proven way to generate new ideas. I often say that you've got to walk the talk before you can inspire others through your actions. I meant this metaphorically, but I also now mean it literally. Friedrich Nietzsche famously said, "Sit as little as possible, give no credence to any thought that was not born outdoors while moving freely about." Walking and talking is so simple, and yet it's one of the exercises that participants say has the biggest impact on their understanding of their situation and their relationships with others. Walking offers people an opportunity to connect on a human level, as equals, and share their perspectives. This experience can produce profound change. But getting ourselves into the important soft fascination mode, through doses of immersion in the outdoors, could be sort of like an extended meditation retreat. Except talking is allowed, and there are no gurus. It causes your brain to ride alpha waves, the same waves that increase during meditation, or when you lapse into a flow state. These can reset our thinking, boost creativity, tame burnout, and just make us feel better. But it is walking rather than just being outdoors that is the driver of novel, high-quality thinking. While research indicates that being outdoors has many cognitive benefits, walking has a very specific benefit: the improvement of creativity. There is a specific type of walking for thinking that is separate from other types of walking. This walking has an optimal speed that synchronizes rhythms of the body with thinking, and vice versa. And there's a reason for this. While you're happily concentrating on your vigorous walk, the brain slows to an alpha state, where your subconscious filters disparate thoughts and resolves the unresolved. This is the mental state where you're more likely to get to the heart of things, where new ideas synthesize, insights pop up, and the right concepts tend to resonate and grow. The removal of boundaries, physical, mental, and metaphorical, that we experience outside, directly translate and influence this thinking. The outside is full of metaphor for our thoughts, spoken, unspoken, cheesy, and sometimes transcendental. We have different conversations when outside, side by side. The narrative changes and stories materialize. This is what I call outside thinking. Insight number 5. make it a habit through my 23-3 rule. The trick is now to make this a habit, not a nice to do or I do it when I can type of thing. Not something to be rescheduled because something important has come up or because of the weather. It is important in its own right and needs to be built into our habits, our team's agendas and our venture's DNA. My suggestion here, building on the previous work by Michael Easter and pulling in all the research in my book, I call the 23-3 rule. 20 minutes of walking every day, a 3-hour long walk every 2 weeks, and a 3-day outdoors trip every quarter. Simply put, the more time you spend outdoors exercising your outside thinking, the more ideas you'll have. I hope this gives you a taste of my book and my philosophy. In fact, many of the words I've spoken here today aren't mine, but are quotes you'll find throughout my book, from academics, writers, entrepreneurs, philosophers, and other innovators. I've pulled all of this together to help get some structure to something most of us already know deeply. My book is full of methods and techniques for you, your teams and ventures to truly embed the outside and unlock some real, innovative, outside thinking. The US edition of my book publishes on the 24th of January. I really hope you enjoy it, and maybe we'll get to walk and talk together sometime.
Thank you, Gary. That was Gary Pratt with 5 big ideas from The Creativity Factor, using the power of the outdoors to spark successful innovation. You might also enjoy our book bite for Tracking Wonder, Reclaiming a Life of Meaning and Possibility in a World Obsessed with Productivity by Jeffrey Davis. I'm Michael Kovnat. Now go, get outside, and have a great day.